All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah is a very complicated man in the Scripture. He's a man that's called of God, but yet he runs from God. God gets his attention, he comes back to God, and then he gets angry at the Lord for saving people. He's a very interesting character. The book of Jonah, I'll give you some time to find that, because that's not as easy as some places. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 943. I can't help you with any other. And the book of Jonah, right after Obadiah, and it gives you a lot of help, and right before Micah. Some of those little books in the Old Testament, sometimes we have a hard time finding. We don't use them a lot, but they're there, and they're there for our benefit and our good. We'll be reading in Jonah chapter number 1, and we'll be looking probably at, I guess, about every chapter, some portion of the chapter. There's only 4 chapters in this. And as I said a while ago, Jonah's a very complicated person to understand until I begin to look at me. And then I find sometimes I'm a whole lot like Jonah. I think we all can find ourselves sometimes in the position of arguing with the Lord and complaining with God. But I want us to look this morning in chapter number 1. We'll begin in verse number 1 and read just about 3 verses here. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord." Our Father, I pray, God, you bless this message this morning. May we make application to our life, and may we be helped by your word this morning to realize that your will is the best for us. We can rebel against it, we can kick against it, but dear Lord, in the end, we know that your will is always the best. Father, help us today. Bless everyone that's here. And we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was sitting in a service this past week, I was listening for a little bit to a man preach out of the book of Jonah. And then all of a sudden, I began to think of some thoughts and some things, and I don't guess I heard anything else he said. I was sitting there acting like I was taking notes on what he was saying, but I wasn't doing that. I was trying to put down some things that I felt the Lord wanted for me to remember. And the more I looked over those things and read these, I felt as though this is exactly what the Lord wanted this morning as we look into the book of Jonah and see what the Scripture says. And we find here in verse number 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now that's the greatest word that could ever come to a person, to an individual. Whether he be a missionary, and Jonah's been called that reluctant missionary, he's been called that rebellious Christian. But the greatest thing that could happen to any of us this morning is that the word of the Lord would come to us. I'm glad one day God came to my heart and made me have understanding that his word told me that I was lost and undone. And so the word of the Lord came unto me one day in that respect. And it's come to me other ways also as my life has progressed and as I've grown in the Lord. And many times the Lord has impressed us to do certain things, and that is a blessing to know that our Father is there to help us, and He's there to speak to us. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and as He is coming to us. Now, in verse number 2, we have the will of God for Jonah. Here the Spirit of God tells him, the word of the Lord says, "Arise and go to that great city, and go to Nineveh." And it says, "Cry against it." And the reason that Jonah was to go to Nineveh, it wasn't necessary to enhance his ministry or to make him popular or whatever someone might think the reason we do what we do as believers, but the reason that the word of God came to Jonah and directed him to that place called Nineveh is given to us here, "For the wickedness is come up before me." The wickedness of that great city had come up before the Lord, and the Lord called Jonah to go there and to testify unto it. And you'll notice in verse number 3, the last verse that we read, you'll find here that there's a rebellious attitude and a rebellious heart from this man, Jonah. Now, the scripture says, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarsus. Jonah goes not to Nineveh, even in the direction of Nineveh. He goes in the opposite way, and he goes toward Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. This is a sad commentary upon a man of God. This is a sad verse for any of us to be able to read and say, I've been there. This is a difficult verse for us to live and for us to experience. But you'll find here that Jonah rose up and he went the opposite direction that God had told him to go. But the little phrase that caught my attention this week and really could not get away from that is those four words. It says, he paid the fare. He decided he was going to go somewhere else. He decided he was not going to go to Nineveh, that great city that God had called him to go. And the Bible says he found a ship that was going to Joppa or going to Tarsus. And so he paid the fare. I wonder how many times we have paid the fare to do opposite of what our Lord would have us to do. And when we get out of the will of God, I will guarantee you, we are the one that pays the fare. Of course, we know that when you pay a fare, you are paying out something in order to get a service from someone. A fare is that which he was buying to ride this ship and to get on board and to go away and to sort of hide himself. And I'm going to go down here. Nobody knows me. I'm going to go down and nobody understands anything about me. I'm just going to get lost in the crowd and I'll just be forgotten about for a while. But the Bible says he paid the fare. Now, God didn't pay it for him. He paid it. And I began to think about, what did it cost him? You know, we can pull out our billfolds, our purses, and if someone says this is X amount of dollars, most of the time, we just pay the cost. If you get on a plane, you'll pay the fare. If you get on a bus, you'll pay the fare. If you get on a ship, you'll pay the fare. Whatever it is, we do the paying. But Jonah here has decided that he's going to not do what God wants him to do. Jonah feels as though he can get by with it if he just gets lost in the crowd, but he pays the fare. And in these next few verses, and even the next two or three chapters, we find out that Jonah paid much more than he really thought he'd have to pay. Jonah paid the fare, certainly, but the fare cost him immensely. It cost him greatly in his personal life and his walk with God. It cost him so many things, and that pretty much is what I want us to deal with this morning, is what did Jonah pay when he paid the fare? First and foremost, I believe we find that he paid by going out of the presence of the Lord. The Bible says here that Jonah rose up to flee from Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah knew enough about God that Jonah knew that if God wanted him there in Nineveh, that his presence would be there with him. I don't believe God ever directs anybody to do anything that he's not there with them to help them and direct them and to give them victory. That's why we support missionaries, that people will go and preach the gospel, because we believe that there are folks there that will hear the gospel and believe and be saved. And so we know where the presence of the Lord is. But Jonah here, he decides he's going to go the opposite direction. And the scripture says he goes out from the presence of the Lord. Now, a little bit later, we'll see him in the belly of the fish. And the scripture says here in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, I said, I am cast out of thy sight. So he got what he wanted. He wanted to go away from God's presence. He wanted to go away from where God was. And he paid the fare by getting out of the will of God and paying the price of the presence of the Lord. I dare say there's not a person in here this morning that by personal experience you understand what I'm talking about. I believe we understand what it means to be out of the presence of the Lord or the good graces of God. There are times when we have intentionally done those things that God has told us not to do, and when we do that, we are out of His presence. We are out of His will. There are things that come to our life that we realize that we've made wrong choices. We've made wrong decisions, and therefore I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. And so I have gone away from His presence, and I'm not as close to God as I used to be. I'm not as on fire with the Lord as I ought to be and should be. And so we have gone away from the presence of the Lord, and we pay the fare sometimes because we do what we want to do. Brother Ferris made the other night a good point that people just do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what God's people say. Sometimes we are just determined that we're going to do what we want to do. And when we do that, we're out of His presence. We're out of His will. And we're paying the fare. We're paying the cost. We're paying the price. What a terrible thing it is to realize to flee from the presence of the Lord. What a terrible thing it is to understand that God is not with me in perfect harmony at this time, and I'm doing my own thing without God's help and without God's direction. I've been there. I'm sure many of you have been there, that there are times we just get out of God's will and the Lord leaves us alone to just sort of paddle our own boat and makes us understand we're not too good a worker on that without His help and without His presence. And so when the Bible says here that Jonah paid the fare, the first thing that he did was that he paid by the presence of the Lord. He was willing to give up God's presence, willing to give up God's will in order to go where he wanted to go and do what he wanted to do. Number two, Jonah paid the fare. It cost him with a progression that is a downward progression. It is a going away from God's presence and going down. And anytime we go away from God, we're not going up with the Lord, we're going down. We're not making progress, we're going backwards. We're not going forward, we're going the other direction. And the Bible says here that Jonah was to flee to Tarshish. And the Bible, next thing it says after the presence of the Lord is that he went down to Joppa. Now, from that point on, every time you see Jonah, he's going down. And he doesn't understand it yet, but he's going down to defeat. He's not going to have victory. He's not going to win the battle. He's not going to have joy. He's going down. He goes down from the presence of the Lord and goes down to Joppa. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that he went down into a ship. He goes down into this ship and he hides himself. And I'm sure in his own self-will, he said, I'm doing okay. The people on the ship don't know me. They have no idea who I am. They have no idea. I think in his own heart, he knew he was going away from God. And now he has paid the fare. And he goes down to the end of the ship. And he goes, and it's going down to Joppa. If you look in verse number 5, it says, the mariners were afraid. And they cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea till the lightning. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. He was just as down as far as he could go, and he could care less about the storm. He could care less about what was happening. And by the way, when we get out of the will of God, we could care less about what happens to anybody. We just don't care. One of the main problems in our society today is that we are self-centered. Jonah was very self-centered. And he didn't care about what was happening. And, of course, just immediately after the ship makes her way out of port, there comes this storm, a great wind into the sea. And the Bible says in verse 4, there's a mighty tempest, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners there, the workers of the ship, they were worried about it, and they began to throw off all the things, all the wares of the ship, just to lighten it, to maybe make it and not to sink. But the Bible says that Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and notice what it says, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, isn't it a strange thing? He is sound asleep, and they're up on deck in a frenzy and working and struggling just to keep the ship on top of the water. But Jonah's down there, he's relaxing. He's resting. And brother, he's paying the fare of a downward progress in his life that he didn't even care about what was going on above, on top of the ship, above board. He cared less. He was just interested in what goods I can have and how I can relax and how I can go where I want to go and forget about what God wants me to do. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it, and nobody will be bothered but me. But Jonah was wrong, and we are wrong also when we have that attitude. He goes down into the ship. He goes down to the sides of the ship. He was sound asleep. He was relaxing. And the Bible says that those mariners were afraid, and they cried every man to his own God. They were more interested in their God than Jonah was interested in his God. They were crying out for help from those idols and those gods that had no help and gave no help. And Jonah was down in the hull of the ship, down in the bottom of it, down the sides of it, and he's sound asleep and not caring about anything. He's paying the price. He's gone from the presence of the Lord. The progression is downward now. Now, look with me as we continue on reading here in verse number 6. So the shipmaster, now this man here, he's not the mariner, he's the master. He's the captain. He comes to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Jonah, what do you mean? We're about to be sunk and you're down here asleep." Jonah's paying fare now. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and guess what? It fell upon Jonah. He goes down. He's away from the presence of the Lord. They pray to their gods, and their gods could not answer. But Jonah's God could put the spotlight upon Jonah. The true and living God, Jehovah, could say, "Here's the one. You're taking it by chance." And by the way, with God, there's no such thing as chance. And God put the spotlight on Jonah, and they said, "He's the problem." They said to him, verse number 8, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil upon us? What is thy occupation?" Oh, isn't that wonderful? What's your occupation, Jonah? Now, how would you like to be a backslidden preacher down there in the hull of a ship sleeping while the rest of them's fighting just to save their life, and here comes the captain of the ship, and they find out that Jonah's the reason the storm is out there, and then they say, "By the way, Jonah, what do you do for a living?" He's paying the fare. What's your occupation? There have been a few times that I hated to tell somebody I was a preacher because of my attitude of a certain incident or what happened. And this is exactly what Jonah has come into contact with. What's your occupation? From whence comest thou? What is your country? And what people art thou? And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew." He did not tell them Jonah probably was a pretty good politician. He did not answer their question. What's your occupation? He sure was glad when they come up with another question, where are you from? And so he decided, he said, I'll answer that one. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. Notice what else he says. And I fear the Lord, God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. I think in essence, Jonah did fear God. But he was out of the presence of the Lord. He is backslid upon God. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And so he's going his own direction, and he said, I'll pay the fare. And the fare is, I have to admit some things about my life. I've gone down, I'm going to Joppa, gone down to the ship, the side of the ship, and I fear God. Verse 10, then were these men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He tells them, I'm running from God. And those heathen that knew not God, they come to this man that is a prophet of God, a preacher of God, and they say, why have you done this? I think at times when we get out of God's will, the world looks at us and says, why did you do that? Why did you make that choice? Why did you go that direction? I have counseled folks and I've asked them, why in the world did you do that particular thing? And most of the time, it's just, well, I didn't think it was too bad, and I just wanted to. And this is exactly what they're asking Jonah. Why? Verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do to thee, that the sea might be calm to us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. He said, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah, cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Not only did Jonah go down to Joppa, down to the ship, down in the sides of the ship, but now he's gone down to the sea. They've cast him out, thrown him overboard, and he's gone down. Look at verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. He goes down to the belly of the fish. A downward progress everywhere. From the time that Jonah says, I'll pay the fare, he goes down. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the ship. He goes down inside the ship. He goes down to in the sea. He goes now down to the belly of the fish. Look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 2. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about me, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He goes down now to literally to the point of death, if not dying. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Jonah is that type of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jonah goes down to the very depths of the bottom. He hits bottom. And really, in verse number 6, the earth with her bars was about me forever. He goes down to the very agony of death. Simply because he said, I'll pay the fare. I'll do it my way. Sometimes our teenagers say, we'd rather do it this way, Mom, Dad. We'd rather do it our way. And when they do that, they have to pay the fare. You and I, as a believer, we say to God, Lord, I'd rather do it this way. And when we come to that decision, and if it's not in the will of God, we're going to pay the fare. We're going to pay the price. It's going to cost us. And Jonah has paid the fare, and now we see the cost. It cost him the presence of the Lord. He paid with a progression downward. Look in chapter 1 again. In verse number 8, it cost him his personal testimony. Who are you? What occupation? Where you come from? It cost him his testimony. A testimony that has been built on years and years and years of right living and good living and spiritual living can be gone in a moment when we make a wrong choice and a wrong decision. It cost Jonah his personal testimony. They said, why have you done this? He didn't have anything to answer. He didn't have any reason other than, I didn't want to do what God said. He didn't have any reason at all as to why. And he says, just take me up and cast me into the sea. I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you. Here's my testimony. I don't know why I did it. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm doing it. And just throw me overboard. And Jonah thought his life would be over. I don't believe God had revealed to him that he had a fish prepared for him. But I'll tell you one thing, God has a fish prepared for all of us when we get out of the will of God. God does give us sometimes the things we want, and sometimes it's not the way we want it. And some, of course, God gave Jonah this fish. He prepared it for his deliverance, that he would do the will of the Lord. But Jonah, in doing this, lost his testimony with these men, these mariners. He lost his way of life with them. And they said, where are you from? And what do you do? And why have you done all of this? And Jonah didn't answer him. He said, just throw me overboard and it'll be all right. Jonah thought it'd be all right for him because he'd die, and it'd be all right for them. They'd live. He paid the fare. If you read chapter 2 and verse number 5 through 10, we read a little bit of it a while ago, you'll find that Jonah paid not only with his away from the presence of the Lord, not only with his personal testimony, but he paid with his pride. I think all of us know what pride is. It's what we think about ourselves, whether anybody else thinks it or not. It's how good we think we are and how wonderful we think we are, whether it's real or not real. That's our pride. And the Bible says God hates a proudful spirit. Yea, doth God hate these things? Seven things does God hate. Yea, seven's abomination. And the first thing he says is pride. And Jonah now is cast overboard. He is swallowed up by the fish. And I'll guarantee you lost his pride when the fish vomiting him out on dry ground. There wasn't anything to be too proud of at that moment. Notice how Jonah describes it. He said, the depths closed in about me, the weeds were wrapped around my head, my life was full of corruption. Verse 7, my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Oh, he remembered the Lord now. He didn't want him a while ago. And my prayer came unto thee, unto the holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry ground. Now don't you know that was a proud situation for Jonah to be in? I could go into all the details of it. I don't think I have to. He vomited him out on dry ground. Now, Jonah didn't come out with a three-piece suit and a tie. His hair wasn't combed. And he didn't smell too good. He paid the fare with his pride. God knows how to get a hold of us. God knows how to bring us down. God knows how to destroy our pride and put us in a position that we can do what God wants us to do. As long as we're prideful and proud, we're not too useful with the Lord. But God knows how to sort of twist us. God knows how to break us. God knows how to get our attention. And Jonah now has paid the fare with his pride. Now chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Well, thank God for second time calling. And I'm not going to read these verses. You know the story. Jonah went down there. He went to Nineveh, that city that was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That meant walking. It took 3 days to go through it, a large city. He entered in the gate. He began to preach unto them judgment. 40 days and judgment's going to fall. You know what happened? The Bible says the city repented at the preaching of Jonah. God did for Jonah exactly what he told him to do. I don't know if any preacher today wouldn't enjoy having a whole city turn to God. But Jonah's still paying the fare now. We're not off topic, off subject. Because after all the blessings that God gave to Jonah, Jonah gets upset with God. And so, Lord, I knew you'd do that. And he gets upset because a whole city turns to the Lord. And Jonah is still paying the price. In verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly and is very angry. He prayed unto the Lord, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarsus. Now Jonah goes all the way back. He hadn't learned much yet. He goes all the way back and he argues with God. He said, when I was in my country, when I fled to Tarsus, or before I fled, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I don't understand, Jonah. God delivers a whole city, and Jonah's angry about it. And Jonah said, God, I knew you'd do that. And so Jonah builds him a little booth. And the Lord prepares a gourd to come up over it to give him shadow, give him shade. And then the Lord prepared a worm, and that worm destroyed the gourd. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. Now notice verse number 9. And this is the last fare that Jonah paid. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, Jonah said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah's an arrogant man that is arguing with God. In verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. God says you had pity for that gourd. Jonah's paying the fare now. He's lost his pity for people. You're sorry the gourd's dead. In verse 11, God says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 people, 60,000 people, and they cannot discern between their right hand or their left. God said, wouldn't it be much better to have pity on people than pity on a little old gourd? You know, when we decide we're going to do what we want to do, and we go out of the presence of the Lord, and we pay the fare, if we're not careful, we'll have a whole lot more love for things than we do for people. We'll have a whole lot more love for our vehicle, our home, our lands, our church building, when we lose sight of why we're really here. And Jonah had pity for the gourd. He was sorry it died, but he had no sorrow at all for 60,000 people. I believe Jonah paid a big cost. He paid it with the presence of the Lord. He paid it with his progression downward. He paid it with his personal testimony. He paid it with his pride. And then he paid it with his pity. He just did not care. How many times we Christians get to the point, well, I don't care what they do. I don't care if they live or die. Just give me what I want. That's why I believe God has blessed Grace Baptist Church the way He has, because we do care, and we have cared, that other people need to hear the gospel. These flags represent millions of people. We have missionaries in these lands that we support monthly, and we give money monthly, and you sacrificially give, and we're on target this year to give right at $50,000 over and above our tithes just for missions. Because we pity people. But don't ever have more regard for physical things than we do for God's things. God said, Jonah, you're angry over the gourd dying. You didn't even plant it. You didn't make it come up. It came up in one night and it left in one night, and you're mad. But you have no care, no pity over 60,000 people. But I asked you to go. I had to make you go. You went. I had mercy. And now you're angry. Jonah's a reluctant man. And God still used him despite himself. Somebody said, did Jonah ever get right with God? It's not given to us in the Scripture other than we have a copy of his book. And he writes about it. Chapter number 2, he comes back and requires and desires the presence of the Lord. But I don't think he ever got over that one decision that I'll pay the fare. I'll do it my way. I don't think Jonah ever did get back to the point that he had first with the Lord. Because his decision, his choice, destroyed his pity and his world vision. And his view of people without God. Jonah was, I'm sure, a prideful Hebrew. Sort of like Peter was. Peter said, I've never eaten anything unclean, God. Don't tell me to eat that. And God said, whatever I've cleansed, it's clean. Don't worry about it. God was trying to tell Peter, the Gentile need the gospel, need salvation just like the Jew. I don't think Jonah ever got back to the place of the presence of the Lord in his life like it was when God called him. We're very careful of the decisions we make, the choices we have, the direction we go, because we may never come back to where we were. We will pay the fare. Let's stand together this morning.